Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. In the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you shall not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Here we are again in Lent. Now, over the past few years, because of personal circumstances, I've come to look on Lent as a hard reset to my faith. You know, the sort of thing, your computer packs up completely, so nothing but to do but unplug it, wait for it to restart. That is exactly what I mean by a hard reset. We all know that life can get in the way of faith, maybe causing doubt, anger, disillusionment. Now, to me, Lent is a time to start over, a time to reflect on Jesus' journey from the River Jordan to the cross. The gospel this week is a familiar subject. It starts that, and it's the start of that journey, the temptations of Christ. We hear it each year from one of the synoptic gospels, and it attracts many theories and viewpoints, from the literal, it all happened as it's written, to being figurative and full of symbolism. Whichever you tend to lean towards, there are certain things that are fact. Jesus was alone in a barren place. He did go through a time of testing, and he did win through. He was tempted to use his powers for his own well-being, change these stones into bread, but he did not. He was tempted to use his power to bolster his own worth, throw yourself off them and show them who you are, but he did not. He could have had everything if he would worship Satan. All that you want could be yours. Just bend the knee. But he did not. He had wrestled out in the desert with himself, with the world, and with the forces of evil. And he had won. But this passage is more about resisting temptation. And it's more aligned to the Old Testament reading we had that first appeared. If we look at this reading, seeing that God put Adam in the Garden of Eden and said to him, "You could eat from any tree, but then forbade him to eat from the tree of knowledge. All was well until Satan appeared in the form of a snake and tempted Eve, who succumbed and ate the fruit. The temptation and the desire were there, and that led to disobeying God's command. That was Eve, but what of Adam? We read, she took of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Did he see her pick the fruit? Did he ask her where it came from? Maybe, too, he was tempted by Eve, who gave him the same words that the snake had given her. Whatever the reason, they both disobeyed God's word, and humankind has been carrying that sin ever since. The word obedience is paramount in today's readings. God gave a command which he expected to be obeyed, but not out of fear or by threat. Although saying, "For in that day that you eat, you shall die," sounds very much like a threat to me. We could ask, why put the tree there? If Adam could not eat from it, why is it there? Is it because God knows that there will always be something to tempt us and wants us to listen to his words, to be obedient? God gave Adam freedom to choose, to obey the command or to disregard it. Without that choice, Adam's obedience would have meant nothing. He would have just been a slave tending the grounds. Now, as we bear this in mind, let's return to the gospel reading, which began with, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Think of the answers he gave to the temptations. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is from Deuteronomy 8, which says, "He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." We need to live by the word of God, to read the Bible daily. The second one was, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And from Deuteronomy 6:16, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him in Massah." We've heard the sort of thing, "God, if you're real, then do such and such now." Doesn't work. The third one was, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." From Deuteronomy 6:13, "The Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear." Make God the only focus of your life. Don't be distracted by the material world. Jesus responded to Satan on the first temptation by quoting scripture, which he knew well. Not to be outdone, the second temptation, Satan quoted from scripture, which was Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12, when he goaded Jesus, but still Jesus resisted, again quoting scripture. Temptation 3 ends with a simple command from Jesus, "Away with you, Satan," and then a quote from scripture. Why then could Jesus resist Satan, where Eve and Adam could not? Jesus spoke with and listened to the Father all the time. But then again, so did Adam. The difference is that Jesus was obedient to both the scriptures and to God's commandment. Jesus knew that in the months to come, there would be many sorts of trials, and the only way to achieve the Father's will was to be obedient. He wasn't tempted at his baptism when the Father had just confirmed him, but when he was alone, tired and hungry. Remember, Jesus was fully human as well as fully divine. So the human would have been at its most vulnerable, both physically and emotionally. But knowing the scriptures and obeying their words, he overcame Satan's attack. That obedience stopped him sinning, whereas Adam and Eve disobeyed and bore the cost. Now we too will have our time of temptation, and Lent is a time to once again align ourselves firstly with the scriptures and then with the words and the commandments that we've been given. Remember, even Satan remembers scripture, and if given the chance will twist it for his own benefit because he refuses to obey it. Like Jesus, we are more prone to attack and temptation when we're vulnerable, feeling low, tired, even stressed, angry, or faced with uncertainty. But we also need to be aware that we would come under attack through our own strength, where our pride opens the door. We need to be aware of how to resist temptation, and the starting point is to understand how it happens. We are tempted when desire and opportunity come together. Think of every time you've given in to temptation. It always happens when there's a desire and the opportunity. So when you feel the desire to sin, ask God to remove the opportunity. Likewise, when there's an opportunity to sin, ask God to take away the desire. Ask him to create within you such a desire for the things of God that the things of the world pale in comparison. Remember, God will always provide a way of escape, a way to remain obedient to him. But like Jesus, like Adam, you have to choose to be. I found written, a person has not shown true obedience if he or she has never had the opportunity to disobey. A person has not shown true obedience if he or she has never had an opportunity to disobey. As part of my community obedience to the Third Order, I must read from the principles of the society each day. And yesterday from the objects was the following. When St. Francis encouraged the formation of the Third Order, he recognised that many are called to serve God in the spirit of poverty, chastity and obedience in everyday life. For me, I have my obedience to the Third Order, my obedience to canon law as a priest, but my primary obedience is to God. If you're concerned that maybe your obedience at times is a little weak, as sometimes mine is, then hear the words from the Ash Wednesday service and take strength and action from them to help strengthen your obedience. And these are the words. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Church, to the observance of a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. The song Trust and Obey, which some of you may know, has these lyrics. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And the refrain is, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.